You're listening to Radio Sandy Springs, America's web radio station. It's 2 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, and that means it's time for the Animal Hour with your host, Susie Aga.
Oh, welcome, everybody. This is Susie from Atlanta Dog Trainer, and we have our show every Tuesday at 2 p.m. So thanks so much for tuning in. We have an awesome guest that we've had on several times before. His name is Tim Link. Hey, Tim.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing fantastic.
Okay, awesome. I'm going to let you tell our listeners what you do.
Okay.
It's so interesting.
Well, thank you. Well, my name is Tim Link, and I own a business called Wagging Tales. That's T-A-L-E-S, because it's all about the information I receive from the animals and the stories they tell me. So I'm an animal communicator consultant. So I work with individuals who have questions about their pets, have had some behavior or physical changes going on with their pets, and they're trying to narrow down what those potential problems are and how to solve them. I work with individuals that have a pet that has come up missing, has become lost, and we help to try to locate those pets to either get them back home to you or to let you know where they're at, so hopefully we can get them back into the loving family. And I work with individuals who have a pet that is going through a transition process of ready to pass on, and they're trying to make those difficult decisions on whether it's the right and perfect time, and how do they go about doing that, and then how do they deal with the grieving process afterwards. So I work with individuals on that aspect as well. And so we solve a lot of problems and build better relationships, and give those animals a voice, and just help everybody out.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. So tell me how you became an animal communicator. I mean, what's your background? Is it something that you just, as you were growing up, found out that you had this connection? Or tell us about that.
Actually, you know, when I was young, I love and appreciate and respect for the animals, but I wasn't the guy who, you know, rescued cats down from trees and brought squirrels in from the side of the road and brought home all these strays. As a matter of fact, we lived in a very modest house. It's my two older sisters, and my mom and dad, and myself, and we lived in a 675-square-foot house. So not much room for dogs and cats and birds and all these wonderful creatures we have. So my relationship with animals grew at a much later time in life. When I got married, my wife Kim loves animals, and we've had quite a few animals in our life, everything from dogs to rabbits to birds to fish to turtles, you name it, we've had quite a menagerie in our life. But this gift that I have to be able to communicate with animals and to connect with them at such a deep level didn't present itself till much later in life. As a matter of fact, it's been almost 6 years when the gift sort of developed and shown itself that I actually could connect with them at such a deep level. So you know, I was in my 40s before this actually happened. I was a telecom executive before this. I'd spent 20 years climbing the corporate ladder and was vice president and director of a major telecom corporation. And my job was to travel the world selling multi-million-dollar technology packages to major companies like Intel and Microsoft and Texas Instruments. And, you know, that was my life. I had my life at home, my wonderful animals, and I had my professional career as a telecom executive. And then back in 2004, my world was about to change, and this gift presented itself, and it's been an incredible sensation, incredible ride since that time.
Oh, well, that's amazing. What a great story that is, to have that transition. And then, you know, I mean, I get to do what I love, so it's really special when people get to, you know, do the job they love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was all matter, you know, it's right and perfect timing. It wasn't anything I had planned, but I think that, you know, in the master plan of the universe, these things are presented to you at the right and perfect time, and you just have to recognize them and follow them.
So absolutely.
So I think it's a gift that I have. I think it's something that, obviously, I'm meant to do. I'm meant to give the animals a voice and help you build that best relationship and best understanding possible of the animals, and that's what I do each and every day.
Cool. Well, let me ask you, how does it work? I mean, does somebody call you up, or, I mean, or do you get, you know, signs or communication from animals, or, I mean, or do you have to have a picture? Tell us how you would, if somebody was interested, how would they go about doing a whole program with you.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I do individual consultations with people. 95% of those consultations are done over the phone. And all I need from you is a picture of your pet, the pet's name, and just information that you're wanting me to know that we so we can form a conversation with the animal. And then we set up a time and a conference call, and we set up a consultation. And you ask questions that you want to know about your pets, or things they're going through, behavior changes, health changes, lost pets, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And I work with you. I connect with the animal. The animal shares with me information in the fashion that they wish to share it with me. So it could be anything from colors, feelings, words, emotions, tastes, sensations, whatever it may be, and how they best like to communicate, they'll share that back with me and hopefully be able to answer your questions. And then if there are some things that we need to do to help the animal out and things that you want your animal to know, then we share that back and forth. So by the time we're done, we have a clear idea of what's going on, how your animal's doing, what you expect from them, what they expect from you, and hopefully solve any problems that you may be having.
Cool. Let me ask you this. I mean, when you say that you get colors, I mean, is it like that certain colors represent certain feelings, or is it, you know, I mean, like red would represent something intense, or how does that work, or is that even explainable?
Right. No, you know, the animals go through the same feelings and sensations that we do as humans. So when we visualize something, we'll visualize, say, a red barn, or we see a red barn you know, with our eyes. That's the same way the animals see it. The animals see a red barn if they're near a red barn, or if they want you to see the red barn, they'll visualize that and share that with me. So a great example is last night I was working with a lady who was in Florida, and her cat was attacked by two pit bull mixed dogs that she had rescued and brought in. And the cat was not typically an outside type cat, but ran off and was gone for most of the night. She contacted me and worried that the cat was going to be, that the cat was injured, and how could she find it and bring it back home, so on and so forth. So when I made the connection, I got the picture of the cat, the name of the cat, all the information I needed. I connected with the cat, and the cat showed me information, showed me that it was a little definitely stressed out, had some injuries, showed me a shed, a small shed that was nearby the property that was gray in color, but it was a faded gray, almost like it had been painted years ago and now it's faded out, and showed me the approximate size of the shed and a ballpark of where the shed was located. Well, so I shared that back with the owner of the animal, the human companion of the animal, as I call it, to see if that resonated with her. Was there a shed like that? Was there a gray-colored shed near her house? And there was. And so she went to that shed. The cat was around the shed, was actually up in a tree outside the shed.
Mm.
And she found her cat, put the ladder up and got the cat down, and everything was great. But that was important for the animal. The animal was trying to show me where it was, show me the important things that they thought was information that I needed to be able to share back to their human companion. So when we talk about colors, those are the type of things we're
gotcha.
That we talk about. Yeah.
And I mean, do you just communicate with the certain species, or is it all species?
Yeah, you know, it really is all species, because all species of animals communicate in the same fashion. Whether we call it, you know, an intuitive, telepathic, a heart connection, however you want to label it, they all connect in that fashion. And so it really doesn't matter if we're talking about dogs and cats and horses, or whether we're talking about, you know, iguanas and bearded dragons, or whether we're talking about animals in zoos and aquariums. I've had a chance to work with the whole variety of types of animals, and they all communicate in the same fashion.
Mm-hmm. They all do communicate in the same fashion?
Absolutely. The big difference, though, is that each individual animal has its own unique personality. So you may have two dogs, for instance, from the same litter, born at the same time, everything's the same, but one is very talkative, one's very outgoing, one will give you pictures, colors, feelings, words, emotions, very outward sense of emotions and pictures, where the other one from the same litter may be a little bit more subdued. They may only choose one or two ways to communicate and maybe limit the information because they're just not that type of personality. So that's what we're dealing with. Great example is I've got two schnauzers of my own, and they're brothers from the same litter. They're Velcro. One doesn't do anything
yeah.
The other one. They look totally different. One is slender, black, with pointed ears, and one is a little bit more round, gray, with floppy ears. But their relationship is very, very close. But yet their personalities are totally different.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and so we see that when we're talking about the animals in our house and how we have to deal with them. So I think from my standpoint, as well as I'm sure what you deal with, being a trainer and working with these animals and a behaviorist, you know, you have to identify the behavior of that animal, that personality of that animal, to be able to connect with them and to communicate with them in that fashion. And though there may be some set techniques or set words or whatever it may be that you would follow, you still have to recognize the individual personality of that particular animal.
Sure. So do you see that it's easier to communicate with an animal that a client has given you to communicate with versus one that you might, you know, just come across that might be injured or something? Or do you usually just pick up when you're asked to communicate? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, you know, I've learned how to control it.
That would be a lot of work, wouldn't it?
Exactly. You know,
for free.
Very early on, it was really it was like a Dr. Doolittle episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was picking up on everything, both animals that were clients of mine, animals that were out and about, and it's definitely overwhelming. So I had to learn how to control it, how to turn it on and off, and how to connect with animals when I needed to, and then how to turn it off when I didn't need to or the situation didn't call for it. Now, there are obviously some situations where the animal is, you know, very persistent. I may not have a consultation with them. I may be out and about, and there's one animal that's very persistent to get my attention, and I'll have a connection with them to find out what they're trying to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I try to control it because it gets to be a little bit much.
Yeah, I would think so. So besides the cat that you had, I know that you told me that you had some other lost animals. We're going to talk about that, but we've got another minute before we have to go on break. So I wanted to ask you, do you get the communication from people as well, or does it stay closer to animals, or have you not pursued that with humans?
Well, I typically focus just on the animals. I typically don't work with humans and their connections. However, when there's something going on within the human or the human companion of the animal, and the animal is stressing that certain things that you're doing or certain things you're going through physically or emotionally is impacting them, then they will bring that up. And that's when
mm-hmm.
I do connect with the human to try to, you know, make them aware that you, as part of that family unit, is that connection with your animal. The things that you do, the things you think, the things that how you feel
mm-hmm.
Definitely impacts your animal.
Sure. No, absolutely. I mean, it's you know, when you have such a connection with your animal, your moods do, they can pick up on your moods by how you walk, how you hold yourself. It's really amazing. We're going to get back into that in a little bit, but we do have to take a short break. So, Tim, just hang on tight. Everybody else, just hang. We'll be right back. This is Susie from Atlanta Dog Trainer.
You're listening to America's Web Radio Online. Thanks for tuning in.
Interior design with style, flair, and sensibility. These words define the approach that Leanne Culpepper has developed for over 20 years in creating dynamic and comfortable environments for a diverse clientele, including homeowners, boat and yacht owners, government officials, corporate executives, doctors, and entrepreneurs. Leanne has won local and national acclaim and is available for design consultation at 770-549-2383. Please visit her website at www.culpeppercarpets.com.
Hi, this is Gina McNew, and I would like to invite you to listen to the Diva Success Network show here on RadioSandySprings.com every Thursday at 1 p.m. I'd like to thank Radio Sandy Springs for the great results and success in being a part of turning an idea into a big reality of over 100,000 bloggers and networking folks around the country. When you do your part, I promise Radio Sandy Springs does theirs.
So your dog is breaking down the door trying to scare off the delivery man, or maybe she's still staining your carpet. You don't have to put up with bad doggy behaviors. Atlanta Dog Trainer is the answer to all your dog dilemmas. Atlanta Dog Trainer Services are from certified canine behavior and training specialists. They have worked with over 45 veterinarians in the metro area and have excellent references. A trained dog makes a happy owner. A trained owner makes a happier dog. From obedience courses to one-on-one solutions, visit AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
You are listening to Radio Sandy Springs, America's web radio station. Now back to the Animal Hour.
Welcome everybody back. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. We were talking with Tim Link. He's an animal communicator right before the break, and we were going over some of how our emotions affect our animals. And I know that a friend of mine has a bird, and this bird is so ultra sensitive to her. It's amazing how you wouldn't think that this that the bird would be that ultra sensitive to her, but he is he knows that she's pregnant, and he's very protective of her. It's just, do you find that when you're talking to animals that they'll bring up a protection issue with you?
Well, they will. I mean, they have that heart connection with us, and they do feel what we're feeling, and pick up on what they need to do to help us out. So yeah, they will get protective when they know there's another, when a woman is expecting, a mother's expecting.
Mm-hmm.
They will pick up on that. They understand that. And I always tell people, you make sure you're communicating that with your animal. Talk to your animal. If there's a change going on within you, a change going on within the family unit, whether it's a physical change or an emotional change, talk to your animals about that. Because the more you talk to them out loud and you verbalize it, not only do they understand the verbalization behind it, but they see the visualization that you put out that comes with the words that you're saying. You automatically, subconsciously put out the visualization when you say the words out loud. And the more visual you are, the more the animals pick up on it.
Okay, that's what you helped me with when I was going to fly with my dog. That was the first time he'd been on an airplane, and to talk to him, and it really actually worked out great. He did a great job on flying with us. We went up to Pennsylvania to do a drill with the Coast Guard, so he actually got to sit in his seat next to me and everything else. And I thought he was going to be very stressed out, but it was actually a one big car ride for him. He just loved it. So your help with that was truly appreciated. That was wonderful.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So when you get a client and they send you the picture, can you tell without them telling you if the animal has passed, if it's crossed over, or if it's still with us?
Yeah, the energy of the animal will come through. I'll connect with the energy of the animal, and I can determine what state it's in physically as well as emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I deal with that a lot with lost animals and helping locate them and bringing them back home or helping you find them. And obviously during that process, you know, animals that leave home, whether they've been chased off or whether they leave on their own, they put themselves, you know, make themselves very vulnerable to situations, whether it be other animals and predators in the area, or whether it's people and automobiles, things of this sort. So, you know, I get contacted when those animals become missing, and when I connect with them, as well as do a technique called map dowsing, which is dowsing for energy by using a pendulum and a map, we can determine what the energy of the animal is. We can tell if the animal's still with us or if they're in that transition process, and what state they're in at that time. Have they just recently passed on, or is this something that's, you know, been a while? And then we can still connect with them to find out what's going on.
So if you're connecting with an animal that's passed, does it seem like it's harder to connect with them, or is it just, it really depends on the energy?
Well, it depends on when an animal has transitioned, has passed on, it really depends on the state of the transition. And what I mean by that is, when an animal first passes on, they obviously, their energy leaves their body, and they go through a process which I call a regeneration process,
mm-hmm.
where that energy is regenerating up to the point where it needs to be, where it's full and it's whole and it's very powerful and it can connect and communicate. And so those early stages, when they first passed on, it's very difficult to connect with them because they're really focusing more on that regeneration, and they're sort of in a state where it makes it difficult to connect with them. But as time goes by, that process, that energy gets stronger and stronger, and at some point, whether it be days, months, or usually days or months, go by, at that point when we can connect with, and at that point the energy is regenerated to its fullest potential, and they can tell us what's going on, how they're doing, what's, you know, where they're at.
Is when you mean I know there's a lot of people that, whether you know, they believe on a spiritual plane or if they don't believe, you know, I mean, they haven't had the experience to you know, having anybody communicate with them from, you know, another plane of life or another energy or whatever. So some people are real skeptical about that. Do you ever find that you have to, that people come to you as skeptics, and then you're having to kind of to convince them or go about trying, you know, I mean, it's, how much information do they need how much information do you need from them to be able to get them, what am I trying to say? Tim, do you know what I'm trying to say?
To believe in what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
To believe what I get is
basically,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find the skeptics are less and less. And I think it's part of it is because we are, as a society, as a culture, as humans, we are going through that transition process of sort of turning the corner on realizing that there's far more out there. There's far more than we could ever imagine, whether you call it the universe or whether you call it, you know, whatever. It doesn't really matter what kind of spirituality or religion that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We know there's more up there. We know there's a higher power. We know there's a universal power out there. And then secondly, you know, we love our animals. They're part of our family. They're part of our heart. And we want to know if they've passed on. We want to know, did we do the right things? Did we do too much, do too little? Did we do it too late or too soon? Those things we really beat ourselves up over as humans. And we want to have some sort of conclusion. We want to have some sort of finalization. And that's
mm-hmm.
what I try to bring about. And you know, also when I work with individuals and their animals have passed, and they, you know, this may be a little bit foreign to them, I try to break it down to things that they can relate to, things that they already have identified and are already recognizing, whether it be intuitively or whether it be through their heart, but they kind of ignore it. They kind of don't accept it. And so what I mean by that is, whenever an animal is passed on, I get accounts, and I ask people this over and over. I say, you know, since your animal has passed, have you felt their presence around? Have you seen a flash of light or a dark streak sort of out of the corner of your eye that sort of reminded you or looked like your pet, and when you turned, there was nothing there?
Mm-hmm.
But you could have swore there was something there. Or there's a favorite blanket or throw on the bed that your dog used to love to lay on, and all of a sudden you walk into the room and that throw is crumpled up and feels warm to the touch when you know that you've spread it out nice and neat and smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
And you sort of think for a moment and you think, no, that can't be it. It must be one of my other dogs that did that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that streak of flash of light or that dark streak out of the corner of my eye, that must be, you know, I'm imagining those things. So we try to overanalyze that.
Right, we sure do, don't we?
Yeah. So in reality, you should accept those. Those are, you know, the animal coming back, the energy of the animal coming back to make sure that everything's okay, make sure you understand that things are fine, and, you know, that they want to continue to share that love with you and continue to be part of your life. And so we see that, and we see that with humans as well, whether we call, you know, humans in our life that have passed on, whether it's our, you know, our relatives or friends that passed on, we'll get a feeling that they're nearby. We'll get a touch on the shoulder. We'll get a brush of the hair. Now, we can call that spirit. We can call those angels. However you want to label it, it doesn't matter. It's still, I always use the word energy. It's just a word I'm comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So that energy is coming back to let you know that they're always here for you, that they care and they're still part of your heart and part of your life, even though they're not in form. And that's mm-hmm. the same way our animals do it as well.
Do you think that they come to you in our dreams?
Yes, definitely so. Because, you know, in our dreams, we're in that unconscious or semi-unconscious state. So we're not, as humans, throwing up those roadblocks, those, oh, I must be imagining this, or I must be going crazy, because it can't possibly be, you know, these over-analysis of what we're actually feeling or seeing
mm-hmm.
When we're in our dream state. We don't have any control on that. We open ourselves up to it. The mind opens up, the heart opens up, and that makes it a perfect opportunity for these souls, these energies, these spirits.
In the situation that you're dealing with, you know, a dog that's here, that's with you, and then actually a person that's passed over, do you think that sometimes I know for sure that the dog will feel the person still here. This is the situation. I have my best friend's dog. He's been with me for 3 years, and she passed away 3 years ago. And there's times that he just shoots out of bed, and he just goes and runs and sits in the living room and not at anything particular. And I always say, oh, Glenn's here, you know, because it just seems like you can just look in his eyes and see that, you know, she's here with him.
Absolutely.
You know, and he still looks for her.
That's right. Well, you know, and because our animals, they don't overanalyze things. They don't put that ego out there. They don't put that those blocks out there like we do as humans.
Mm-hmm.
So they accept it. So they're able to feel and they're able to see these energies that come back around. And, you know, these aren't ghosts. These aren't, you know, woogie-boogie spirits. These
right.
are actual whole souls and spirits that come and energies that come back to let us know everything's okay, to help us out, to support us, to get us through those times. And, yeah, our animals will definitely recognize that and let you know that they're what they see and what they feel.
And on the other side of that, I had a dog that lived till he was 18 years old. I mean, he was my heartbeat. I mean, he just went through so many years of my life. And, you know, there's different cultures that believe, you know, the spirits stay here for a certain amount of time. You know, just depends on what you believe. But, you know, after he passed, I felt him here for, you know, quite some time. And then the day that he left, it was completely different. I felt, okay, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone now.
Absolutely. You know, I had we had a Pomeranian that we got in college. My wife and I are high school sweethearts, so we've been together a long, long time, and we went to high school together and college together. And when I moved out of the fraternity house and got my own dumpy little bachelor pad, that lasted for about a day, and next thing I know, I had a Pomeranian puppy in my life by the name of Niecy. And Niecy lived with us, stayed with us till she was 16 years old. So she lived a nice, beautiful, long life. But for the next 2 years, every night when we came home from work and we punched the garage door, we would hear the bark, 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 three barks.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she did when she was in body, when she was still alive. And even back then, this was before I knew of this gift, really understood it, you know, I overanalyzed it. I thought, it's amazing. I expect her to hear her bark, and thus I hear her bark. So it must be, you know, just me imagining this. And this went on for a couple of years, and then we built a brand new house, cleared out the land, built a brand new house on the other side of town, miles and miles away from where we lived before. No one had ever lived in this house, built it from scratch. And the first day that we pulled up and hit the garage door, we heard bark, bark, bark.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And that lasted for about 2 or 3 months. She wanted to let us know that she was okay and that she was still always going to be with us. It didn't matter what house we lived in or where we were located or what was going on in our lives. She would always be with us.
Oh, that's suspicious.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a short break, Tim. We're going to come back and find out some more of your success stories. And everybody, appreciate you listening. This is Susie for the Animal Hour, and we are here every Tuesday at 2 p.m.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team. So your dog is breaking down the door trying to scare off the delivery man, or maybe she's still staining your carpet. You don't have to put up with bad doggy behaviors. Atlanta Dog Trainer is the answer to all your dog dilemmas.
Atlanta Dog Trainer Services are from certified canine behavior and training specialists. They have worked with over 45 veterinarians in the metro area and have excellent references. A trained dog makes a happy owner. A trained owner makes a happier dog. From obedience courses to one-on-one solutions, visit AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
You're listening to Radio Sandy Springs, America's web radio station. Now back to the Animal Hour.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. This is Susie from Atlanta Dog Trainer, and we have a great guest today. We have Tim Link, and Tim Link is an animal communicator. And he, Tim, you know, I'm going to ask you about your book, but I wanted to ask you first, when you said your wife and yourself were high school sweethearts, so when you asked her to marry her, did you already know she was going to say yes?
Well, I was trying to marry her for 7 years.
And oh.
Yeah, so she went. She said, no, we're still in high school, and no, we're still in college, but a week after graduation, so when we got married. So, yeah, I knew that from the moment I laid eyes on her. I knew that it was over with. I was 15 years old.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow, how special.
Yeah, very nice. So I've had a great great relationship. We've been married for 23 years, been together for 30 years.
Wow.
And, yeah, I stole her away from my best friend, then best friend, I should say. Sorry about that.
He wasn't the best man at your wedding.
No, he wasn't quite the best man at my wedding, so maybe a character flaw, but, you know, the heart knows what the heart knows, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, they say you know when you know.
That's right.
And you know when you don't know. True.
Yeah, hopefully you know it before you make any mistakes, but that's a different story.
That is a different story, you know. That would take on a show in itself.
A whole series,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, exactly, really. How many mistakes and what did I read wrong, you know? So let me ask you just why, you know, there's some, I've seen psychics in my life, and, you know, they call themselves a psychic. And since you're a communicator, what is the difference of calling yourself a communicator versus a psychic?
Well, you know, I think it's terminology. I mean, I always tell people all the time, you can call me a communicator, you can call me a psychic, you can call me a whisperer, you can call me a consultant, you can call me whatever you want to call me as long as you call me.
Exactly.
That's the key. So, you know, psychic's not a bad word. It's gotten a bad reputation
right.
over the years, and we, you know, we look at the 800 psychic lines and all the things that we, that sort of gave it a bad rap. I don't typically call myself a psychic because the notion that most humans have of the psychic is somewhat negative and somewhat of someone that can predict the future. And I said, well,
right.
you know, if the dogs could tell me what the winning lottery numbers were, then we could all be rich and I can help more animals out. So, but it doesn't quite work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But a communicator is someone, you know, I can connect with them at a very deep level and we can have a open communication to share what their wants and needs are and to share back with them what you want and need from them, thus giving them a voice and helping you build that best relationship and that best understanding of your animals as well as animals in general.
That's great. That's great. Then, you know, I mean, that's everybody, you know, there's a lot of people that aren't in tune with their animals, and maybe once after they've, you know, spoken with you and you've helped open up those communication lines, and they would have a better bond with their human. We have a lot of people that just, you know, they just haven't bonded with their human, and or the human hasn't bonded with them is the main thing. And so they don't really understand. And once you've bonded with an animal, then you understand this whole realm. But if you've never bonded with an animal, this doesn't make sense to people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we help build those great relationships, those great bonds. And, you know, I had a client yesterday. She didn't have any problems or challenges with her animals. The animal was physically fine, emotionally fine. She just wanted to know, you know, how can I build a better relationship with my dog, in this case, and what are his wants and needs? Am I doing the right things for him? And it was just a nice, pleasant conversation. She got a better understanding of what he really likes, and she's going to implement more and more of those things in his life, thus building that continue to build that special bond.
Okay, that's great. That's great. And that's what part of it is when someone does call you, I mean, they might already know what it is that they're just not comfortable with. Doing it. I mean, as far as when I called you about Hezekiah, and I just want to let all the listeners know, there is no pictures of my dog Hezekiah. There's one picture on the website, but you can't tell that he's a three-legged dog. And I have no other pictures of my dog anywhere. So there's no way you would have known that he was three-legged. And, I mean, in the first 3 seconds, you said there's something going on with his back right leg or not going on with his back right leg. So that was very impressive to me because, you know, I was like, wow.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, and that was important for him to share with me right off the bat. It doesn't bother him. He gets along great without it. It's no big deal. He wants to make sure you and everyone else knows that as well.
Yeah, he milks it every once in a while, though.
Yeah. Well, hey, if we can get away with it, we can get away with it, you know.
He's like, buy me a stroller.
That's right. Pick mm-hmm. me up. Give me some more treats while you're at it.
Exactly. Look at my sad eyes. Can you please lift me up on the bed? I'm just too tired to climb. Yeah. But that was very impressive, and all the advice that you gave me as far as that trip was concerned was very, very effective. So I was really glad that I had talked to you. I know that one of my friends, Shelley, she talks to you a lot with her dog, Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, and that's one, you know, part of the consultations, you know, are those type of things. You know, maybe you're going on... Perfect time. This is Thanksgiving, you know, and people are going away for the holidays as well as they have guests and family and friends coming in for the holidays. And both of those dynamics can impact your animal. You know, a lot of stress potentially of getting in the car, driving long distances, going to a new house or going around people with a lot of excitement, a lot of things going on. As well as if you're staying home for the holidays and you're having people over. And it could be the same people that come over to your house all the time. But it changes the energy of the household, changes the mm-hmm. dynamics. And us humans, you know, if you're anything like me, we get talking and we get talking and we get talking and tend to forget what we're supposed to be doing, which is also taking care of our furry friends. So, you know, be cognizant of that during the holiday season and make sure that you're keeping up with your pets, make sure they're getting taken care of well. Try not to give too many table scraps or bones, not to upset their stomachs. Try
right.
to keep to the routine. But recognize that all that new energy, all that exciting energy that's going on in the household will definitely have an impact on your animal.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that they pick up on all the, you know, how we decorate and change and I mean, every day, lots of stuff changes during the holiday season. I mean, trees that were outside come inside. You know, there's just a lot of things that change, and I think that would heighten the excitement level of them. And then the doorbells, of course, rings much more because you've got company and guests coming over. So
mm-hmm.
this is a big heyday for them as well.
Exactly. And, you know, and some of your animals are going to want to be right in the middle of the mix. They'll want to be part of that. They want to see that, feel that excitement, and be part of it. And other ones will prefer not to be part of the energy. They prefer a more quiet energy, and that's when you typically see them go off on their own, you know, hide in their bed or go up to the bedroom where it's a little bit quiet, more quiet, or they'll sneak out the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then we got a whole new situation
right.
on hand. So just be cognizant of them. Make sure that everybody knows that that's coming over to greet them, and you explain ahead of time to your pets what the situation is and what you need from them and why it's going to be a good thing for them. And then when you have your friends and family over, make sure you explain to them what they need to do with the pets being around, because they're now in your animal's household, so they've got to keep an eye out for your furry friends as well.
Absolutely. So let me ask you, what are some of the questions, the main questions that people call you for if the dog's not lost or doesn't know, or what they call you for as far as behavioral goes? Do you get a lot of separation anxiety questions or people curious about that if they see that type of behavior in their dog?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for the dogs, we get two different ones for the most part. It's the separation anxiety when you leave the house, no matter if you're going on vacation or to the store or whether you're going out to the mailbox. Our animals have a great deal of questions and anxiety that goes along with that. And if it's not explained to them properly, then they will act out in other ways, or they'll become depressed themselves because they're unsure what's going on. So we always go through that process. And then I get calls on, why does my dog bark at everything? Period.
Right.
The squirrel outside, the UPS truck pulling up, the doorbell ringing, those type of things. And, you know, those two things, I mean, it really depends on each individual animal. But when we're talking about the separation anxiety, when we leave the house, I have a process that I suggest everybody follow. As a matter of fact, it's one of the tips in my book, Wagging Tails. Every animal has a tail. which is a collection of 32 stories of animals I've worked with, but also has 24 helpful hints, little tips in there. And so one of the tips is, what do you do when you leave the house? What is the process you should follow when you leave the house? And I always tell people that when you leave the house, make sure your animals know, first of all, where you're going. Secondly, what they need to do, when you'll be back. And third, what do they need to do while you're gone? Give them a job to do. So, for instance, if you're leaving the house and you're going to work for the day, you tell Spot, I'm going to go to work. I'll be back in 8 hours, which is 6 p.m. I need you to lay down and take a long nap. I need you to leave the cat alone. I need you to, chew on your bone most of the day. Whatever the job is, it really doesn't matter, but assign some sort of job for them. Try to make sure the job is not one that they have to stay heightened on their senses. So a lot of people will say, guard the house. Well, the dog will do exactly what you ask him to do, and if they're on heightened alert all the time to guard the house, then they're going to be emotionally drained by the time you get home, physically, could affect them physically as well. So try to give them something simple to do that they can understand what they should be doing while you're gone. And this works out incredibly well. This becomes part of the routine, so I get people to do this every time they leave the house, and it really involves every family member as well. And it involves whether you're going to work or whether you're going on vacation or even just out to the mailbox. You let them know where you're going, when you'll be back, and what are they to do. And we've solved a lot of the separation anxieties by just going through that simple process. And I do believe it's part of it's because the dogs definitely understand the words that you're saying. They see the visualization behind it, and then they feel your energy behind it. Because when you speak to them, when you speak in general, not only does that visualization come out, but your energy goes up to a higher level. You feel better about things. It's that, that old terminology of, talk it out, you'll feel better. Get it off your chest. And you do. When you say words out loud, you'll see those words, see what you're trying to project to them. And then more importantly, you've talked it through and you feel better about it, and they always respond to a higher, more positive energy level with their human companions.
Right. I think we all respond to that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to mention something that I'm in a project of right before we go to break. We've got a new training video coming out. It is Who's in Charge, and a gentleman named Willie Miller is producing the video, and he's the president of People Media Solutions. And I'm actually in the video, and we're doing it for behavioral issues and puppy development and basic through intermediate commands. So it's an awesome video, so look for it. It's going to be on our website, and it's going to be on some other marketing websites. So I just wanted to throw in that shameless plug before we went on break. Sorry about that, Tim. But, Tim, we're going to go to a short break, but I want to come back, and I want to talk about your book and get some of your stories that you've shared in your book. With everybody. So just hang on, and we'll be right back for the Animal Hour.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Atlanta-based CPA firm HLB Gross Collins PC was recently named one of the nation's best managed accounting firms. Additionally, the firm was recognized as one of Cobb County's top 25 small businesses. To what does the firm attribute their success? Quality personalized service for each client, some of whom have been clients of the firm for over 30 years. The firm has grown and evolved over their years of serving clients both locally and internationally in order to meet the continually changing and varying needs of clients. HLB Gross Collins PC can work with you and your business in all aspects of tax, accounting, and financial management so that you can benefit from the years of expertise and proven track record that has earned the firm many prestigious awards for excellent in client services and more. Contact HLB Gross Collins PC at 770-433-1711 or hlbgrosscollins.com.
So your dog is breaking down the door trying to scare off the delivery man, or maybe she's still staining your carpet. You don't have to put up with bad doggy behaviors. Atlanta Dog Trainer is the answer to all your dog dilemmas. Atlanta Dog Trainer Services are from certified canine behavior and training specialists. They have worked with over 45 veterinarians in the metro area and have excellent references. A trained dog makes a happy owner. A trained owner makes a happier dog. From obedience courses to one-on-one solutions, visit AtlantaDogTrainer.com.
You're listening to Radio Sandy Springs, America's web radio station. Now back to the last segment of the Animal Hour.
Great, everybody. Thanks for coming back and listening. We've got one more segment to go. And we have Tim Link here. And Tim has written a book. And he's an animal communicator. And I know your website is www.wagging-tales.com. And that's a great way to learn more about Tim. And Tim, tell us about the name of your book. And I know you got a book signing coming up, right?
Yeah, we've been doing quite a few book signs. We've got a couple of events that we'll tell everybody about. But the name of the book is called Wagging Tales, Every Animal Has a Tale. And it is a collection of 32 stories of animals I've worked with, solving all kinds of different behavior issues, finding physical issues and that the veterinarians can help your pet out with, the separation anxiety questions that animals have, finding lost animals. So it's a nice little collection of 32 stories. And then we have 24 helpful hints, little tips like the one I said before when you leave the house, how to talk to your animals, tell them where you're going, when you'll be back, and what are they to do while you're gone. So we've included those helpful hints in there. And the book is available on our website at wagging-tales.com. It's available nationwide at all major bookstores and independent bookstores, as well as you can order on your favorite online internet store. So we've had a great success with the book. It came out in May of this year, and we've been out on a national book tour that took us to about 9 different cities where we've appeared on national and regional TV shows and radio shows and all kinds of different speaking events. So it's been a lot of fun. And one of the best things about the book, two best things about the book, I think, are, first of all, it's a very easy-to-read book that's suitable for all ages. So we see a lot of our young adults and children are actually coming in and having their parents buy the book, or better yet, save their money to buy the book, because it helps them connect with the animals. We've got wonderful pictures in there, and the stories are nice and easy for the children. So it's a great book for children, but it's stories are about animals I've worked with, and it's geared towards adults as well. And secondly, a portion of the proceeds from the business as well as the book, Wagging Tales, goes back to animal rescue organizations. So we try to give back to help the animals that are trying to find their right and perfect forever homes.
Great, great. Do you find that with the rescue dogs is there an easier communication with a dog that's not been through years of stress, or is it the same in all personality related and,
you know, it is
what
it,
they're
it,
willing it, to share or?
Yeah, it is based on the personality of the animal, so it really doesn't matter necessarily what they've been through in the past. And I try to explain to people that, you know, animals are a lot like humans in the fact that we all have a past, we have a present, and then we move on from this world. You know, we transition on. Whether we're talking animals or humans, that's exactly how it happens. The big difference is that the animals, though they live that past, and that past could have been quite harsh or uncertain, they learn from that past. And they don't live there, but they learn from those lessons, and they live in the moment to try to fulfill every single day their mission, their purpose for being here. And then they transition on. Unfortunately, as humans, we often get caught up in our pasts. And, you know, we say we don't want to talk about our past, but every opportunity we get, we talk about that past, especially the more tragic it's been. We hold it up like a golden egg a lot of times. And that prevents us a lot of times from focusing on what our real mission and purpose is. And even sometimes people spend thousands of dollars trying to figure out, why am I really here, when it's there all along.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to get rid of that past and focus on why you're really here and just jump on board full force. So when we're talking about animals that are at shelters and rescue facilities, yes, they may have some challenges and we have to work with them a little bit differently, but once they fully understand that past, they let go of the past and they focus on the present. So we need to help all those animals out, whether we're working at volunteering at the shelters and rescue groups, or whether we bring a rescue animal home to be part of our family, we need to sort of recognize and make sure they understand what happened in the past, but that's not what the present is.
Right.
And so I'm not going to worry about it, so Spot, you don't need to worry about it either. And so get rid of that fear, get rid of that worry, get rid of that questioning, You know, I get asked a lot about, you know, I think he had a, he was beaten when he was younger. Can you tell me his relationship? I think he had a real bad past. Well, yeah, I can find that out, but it, by then the animal's already left that behind. They don't care about that.
Mm-hmm. And they want in the moment. More,
yeah, they want to, exactly. What's going on now? What can I do now? Well, here's why I'm here. So don't worry about that past. Focus on the present and, you know, fulfill your reason for being here and help your animal fulfill their reason as well.
Yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, I mean, there is such a communication with your dogs. I mean, they're so conditioned to everything that we do and to, you know, the sounds and our body language and, you know, how we, you know, I mean, my dogs know if they're coming with me by what shoes I put on, you know. I've got a pack in the other room. If I bring down a suitcase, it's like they get really depressed for 3 or 4 days. They follow me around. They won't leave me. I mean, it's like, you stop and there's six dogs bumping into each other, you know. There, it is. So it's just, you know, you have such a communication with them. If you have bonded with your dog anyway, and they, you know, they know. You just have to find a way to help them to be okay with it, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a couple crates out in the garage that we, when we're going on a trip, we load up in the SUV and go on our trip. Now the trip, if it is like a trip yesterday, we went to the veterinarian's office for our little checkup that we had to do for the dogs. And so my projection, even though I'm professionally, you know, got this professional gift, this thing that I know better, I still have a little bit of heightened stress. I have a little bit of anxiousness knowing that they don't really care that much for the veterinarian or the trip. And so if I project that out there, they get a little bit nervous, they get a little bit whiny, they're unsure what's going on. Compared to when we're going up to some property, we own some property up in the Georgia Mountains, and when we're going up there, that's the opportunity for the dogs to run and play. So I know this. I know this is going to be good for them. It's going to be good for me. I'm feeling positive about it. Well, the routine of putting the crates in the back of the SUV
mm-hmm.
is exactly the same process. I wear the same clothes, the same shoes, the same everything.
Right.
But my energy I'm projecting out there is totally different, and they act totally different when they're going up to, you know, up to the mountains to run around. They don't say a peep. They're ready to go, front and center. Let's get it going. But when we're going to veterinarian, I'm projecting that energy. So, yeah, they know you. They have that connection. They feel your energy. They feel what you're putting out there. So try to be positive about it. Talk to them about it. Feel good about what you're doing, and the animals will respond accordingly.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And then you just have, you know, it's just like any being that, you know, you'd have to communicate with so that they, you know, they have a tighter bond and they understand and the stress is released. And maybe the same thing would be with the child. It'd be, you know, if you're moving or something, you'd have to really explain to the child about that, or else that can be extremely stressful. Moving is very stressful for dogs.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and talking to them is very important. We talk about... exactly. I'm glad I got agreement here.
Yep. The females walked into the room together. You know how we are.
That's right. Announce yourself beforehand.
Yeah.
But there's a wonderful story in the book about a dog named Sailor. And Sailor was a dog that was at the Humane Society of Forsyth County, a no-kill shelter up here in Cumming, Georgia. And Sailor was dropped off to the shelter because the human companions, the husband and wife, were getting a divorce. And it was a pretty nasty divorce. And they decided neither one would take the dog, and they just took him up there and dropped him off. Didn't explain anything. Well, he wasn't sure what was going on. He wasn't sure what his reason for being there, what happened, sort of blamed himself, sort of like a child would. And so he showed some outward behavior problems, you know, outward aggression. So initially the folks at the shelter moved him down to the far pen, away from everybody, sort of off the beaten path, which sort of made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a conversation with Sailor to see if we could find out what's going on and try to explain to him what the situation was and that he wasn't to blame, that he needs to be a big, healthy, happy boy, and we'll find him his right and perfect forever home and everything's going to be great. And then we found out from Sailor that he wanted to be sort of in the center of things. He wanted to sort of see what was going on, not feel like he was an outcast. So we moved him down to the center of the dog runs to see if we can get him a little bit more exposure and make him feel more part of everything. And so as we went through this process, his behavior changed. He became more positive, more friendly. He got rid of his aggression. We did find him the right and perfect home. He's traveling around everywhere now. She takes him everywhere that she goes, and he's doing fantastic. But all that is part of the fact that we talked to him to find out, make sure he understood what the past was, but don't worry about that. Focus on why you're here now and help us find you the right and perfect home, and everything's going to be great. And we did that, and Sailor's doing fantastic.
That's wonderful. And did you say you went to South Forsyth Animal Hospital? I mean, South Forsyth Shelter?
No, this was the Forsyth County.
Forsyth.
Yeah, Humane Society of Forsyth County, which is the no-kill shelter up in Cumming, Georgia.
Yeah, no, I know. With Angela, she's one of the...
Yeah, Angela Morris.
I saw that dog, believe it or not. We did an evaluation when the sailor first came in.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, that whole thing sounds familiar. So
that's it. Yeah,
yep.
That's it.
Yep. So, yeah, Angela called us out for an evaluation when that...
Yeah, and
that
he
dog
had all kinds
of issues. Yeah,
exactly. So we had all kinds of issues with him, and I ended up working with him, talking to him, moving him to a more centralized place. It was a slow process, but he finally understood what was going on and what was happening, and he's doing great now. So
no, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So the story in the book Wagging Tails, Every Animal Has a Tail, are chock full of little stories like that, and fun stories and heartfelt stories, and. Just I think a great little book for everybody to be able to connect with the animals.
Absolutely, and this is a season to give a good book. So
absolutely
great. Well, Tim, thank you so much for doing our show, and I'm going to have you back on shortly. And you're always just a wonderful, interesting guest. So thanks again.
Well, we appreciate it. And if you get an opportunity, stop by Bound to Be Read Books on the 29th of November. We'll be there at 3:00 doing some signings and giving back to rescues. And then we'll also be at the Barnes & Noble at the Forum in Norcross coming up here in a couple weeks as well. And the best way to find out about that is go to the website, wagging-tails.com. You can sign up for the free e-newsletter and find out about where all the appearances and the discounts and promotions and things we have going on. So
great.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Great. Sure, absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This is Susie from the Animal Hour, and we will see you and talk to you next week.